Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the 10 o'clock Haymaker.
You know what? I believe Mahomes is going to play Sunday for the third straight week. And I'm telling you, for the first time, and I'd say a year plus, Vern, he is going to do something that he couldn't do besides beat Belichick and Brady, and that's give the team the mental edge before the game.
That there, ladies and gentlemen, is Ron the Show Hughley.
He hasn't been able to do it.
I am Joshua Vernier, and this is Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, obviously, when the game starts, it generally doesn't matter because his talent is so ridiculous and his skill set is so good. But I'd say over, maybe since the Patriot game they played last year, even around that, every time the Chiefs step on the field, in terms of before the game starts, they don't have the advantage in terms of motivation and the boost before the game. Because Mahomes is the golden boy, right? Mahomes is the hot commodity, the hot star of the league over the last year plus. And when teams go into games, they are more, we got a little something extra because we're playing Mahomes. We want to show that this dude ain't all that. We want to come in. They kind of have an edge and advantage before the game boost between the matchup of them, because the Chiefs are going into it every single week and it's not any different. For these teams coming in to play the Chiefs, they're like, oh, we got Mahomes. Well, when the Chiefs play the Titans on Sunday, Vern, and Mahomes plays, the Chiefs will have the boost. The Chiefs will have the boost of, oh, our dude is back. Our best player is back. The best player in the league is back. We get a boost up. We are charged up a little bit more. We have missed 15. We haven't had the chance to play with him. And I think that is the first time that the Chiefs before the game win the Mahomes boost.
There's no question that adding Patrick Mahomes will energize this team. No one can argue that point. And maybe I'm diving into the weeds too much, but this Sunday to me, that boost that you speak of is a boost of excitement that the best player in the NFL has returned. But I do think that they had an equal boost in each of the previous 2 weeks, a boost of focus, because that's what the opposition, in my mind, is utilizing when they take the field against Patrick Mahomes. You're right. When you're taking on the MVP and you're the Titans or you're the Ravens,
yes, anybody,
there's an added extra something. And that added extra something is a different kind of focus, because you respect his ability and you understand you can't slip up or that MVP will tear you apart. I think the Chiefs have actually utilized that same kind of focus the past 2 weeks without Patrick Mahomes. Maybe that doesn't need to be as ever present this Sunday against Tennessee, but that boost that you speak of, I think, is different, because the Titans will still have that boost, that we need to be laser focused against Patrick Mahomes. So they'll still reap the benefits of squaring off with the MVP. I think the boost that the Chiefs get is a boost of excitement, knowing that, man, this is going to be even more fun because the onus isn't on us to be perfect, because we have the MVP in the pocket.
I won't argue that they have not had a little extra oomph to come into the games because people haven't felt that they had a chance because of Pat being gone. I'm specifically speaking about the times that Pat Mahomes has been able to play football over the last year plus. The Chiefs don't get the advantage prior to the game
in terms of
Mahomes. And I don't think they have the advantage. Effort. I think it's a push. I think each side has that extra boost with Patrick Mahomes on the field, and what separates the Chiefs from the Titans is talent. The Chiefs are going to crush the Tennessee Titans. The boost that they're going to get, the Titans, that normally last a quarter. A quarter, and then eventually the talent bears out. I think the excitement that Pat adds for the Chiefs, the focus that he adds for the Titans is a push, and it's just an absolute bloodbath.
I don't think it's a push. I think it's just because he's been out so long, and I think that
But it wears off after a quarter.
I think this is a game type of deal for the Chiefs. I think there is an excitement level because as soon as he does something that is Pat Mahomes like, I think it then gives them another boost of energy, just like, oh, look, this is why we were Super Bowl contenders. This is why everybody thought we could. I think it continues at least for a game. I think this week their boost overpowers what the normal thing is that teams get because they're playing the golden boy. I think they get the advantage throughout. More than the Titans do today.
Protein I'll see with the purpose. Text line 69306 from the 913. Plus, guys, the boost you get from the Raiders winning last night and getting right on your heels in the AFC West.
Well, that's good to hear that, because it's good that some people are thinking that, because I do think in our job sometimes, Vern, you all have a lot of things that you're doing in life, man. You got kids, you got everything, and your primary focus and goal And your job isn't to just continue to keep up and follow all of the ins and outs, the deeper ins and outs of sports. And I think it's a part of our job to bring some of that to your attention, and that's why I want to, right now, at 10:07, November 8th, issue this warning of preparation for Chiefs fans. Prepare yourself right now. The Raiders won last night, and they are 5-4. The Chiefs and Raiders play December 1st in 3 weeks, Vern. The Oakland Raiders will be 7-4. I will be shocked if they're not 7-4 because they play the Bengals and the Jets upcoming. I think the Raiders will be 7-4, and the Chiefs currently right now are 6-3. They have some interesting games on the road. In Tennessee, we believe Pat's going to play, but you never know. And then they go to Mexico City and play the Chargers. And for some reason, the Chargers, even though the Chargers had lost like 9 in a row to the Chiefs, they played the Chiefs well, right? And they beat them on the road. As bad as they looked last week, they played the Chiefs well. They're going to Mexico. That can be a weird game. I'm just warning you, coming into the game, the division is going to feel much tighter December 1st when the Chiefs play the Raiders. But don't be concerned. I told you the team that I would look at and say, would be the Chargers. Now that they lost yesterday and they're at 4-6, I think you can breathe easier with them if you had any concerns. But the Raiders, to me, are a year behind. They're not ready yet this year. And you would be thinking that game would be coming off a bye week. And historically, Andy Reid is one of the best of all time off a bye week. Pat, you think, would be in a better place of health than he is currently right now, even if he does play. So, I'm just warning you right now, the division is going to feel much closer December 1st, and it may even be for first place in the division. But don't worry. The Raiders are not ready yet.
No argument. And that's win or loss on Sunday,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
The loss, it will really make you nervous because I don't think a lot of people, some people aren't really thinking about the Raiders, and you should, aren't really thinking about the Raiders because they're kind of still filled as a joke. But you will look up December 1st, and they're going to be 7-4. And the Chiefs are probably going to be, 8-3 or 7-4 themselves. They're going to be tied for the division. It's going to feel tighter, but the Raiders aren't ready yet this year. They're very improved. I think they're better than a lot of people felt, although I did say that I thought they were moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I like some of the things. I'm even surprised a little bit where they are now. But
I could see that worry. Not that I can understand it, but I can see it on the horizon because and what the Raiders do Right, I think Chiefs fans are still afraid of big running backs. And that kid in Oakland, again, is going to be a problem in this division for years. So they can run the ball. They got a nice defensive line. Even with Mahomes back, you would think that could scare Chiefs fans, getting in his face and possibly re-aggravating that ankle. So, yeah, I would say the defensive line of the Raiders and the running game of the Raiders, coupled with the fact that, yeah, they could be 7-4 going into that meeting. No, that's a good warning.
But I think it might catch people off guard, Vern. I don't think people are thinking about it right now. I don't think people are thinking about the Raiders
right
now.
Well, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, they shouldn't.
I'm just telling you.
Grand scheme of things, the division is yours.
I'm just telling you to prepare yourself. It may come out of nowhere. Oh, hell, the Raiders are 7-4? If we lose this game somehow?
Yeah. Well, they could. I mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just telling people right now.
The only way they lose this game on Sunday, in my opinion, is if Matt Moore plays and does the thing that we've all been, maybe not we all, the thing that I've been waiting for him to do, to look like a guy that was a scout 6 months ago, out of football a year ago. Matt Moore, I think, has obviously put this fan base at ease with his well above average performances each of the past 2 weeks. And while I believe Patrick Mahomes will play, I'm not falling for whatever the Chiefs are trotting out there. But I guess the possibility still does remain that Matt Moore is under center. It would be impressive. I don't think it's expected. We'll find out maybe 1 o'clock when Andy Reid speaks with the media. But if Matt Moore is under center, would it be out of the realm of possibility to watch him make some sort of back-breaking mistake late in the second half, and that game becomes
or anywhere
surprisingly close? I would like to think that Andy could overcome an early turnover by Matt Moore. But if there are multiple turnovers, yes, if he is bad, they can definitely lose. But I just think that Matt Moore has done a remarkable job of late in games making the right read, not doing what I've been waiting for him to do, and that is look like a journeyman backup, look like someone that shouldn't be on an NFL field, turn back into a pumpkin. That's basically it. Matt Moore wasn't in this league for a reason. Matt Moore, in my opinion, won't be a starter again for a reason. Andy Reid's greatness has been able to mask that and scheme around that. I'm wondering if he can do it for a third straight week, because, Ron, my only trepidation going into that Vikings game was, can Matt Moore really do it again? He almost didn't.
Yeah, it's a shaky
fumble. Right. But he did, so I'm not trying to crush him. That's the only way I think they'd lose.
Well, I think you brought up the point of why I feel like it's not likely that he makes back-breaking mistakes. I think he's a very smart quarterback anyway. Not cautious, but I think he's a smart quarterback anyway. And really, to me, in this game, he needs to be Alex Smith. He needs to be Alex Smith, like, use your weapons and just not make the big mistake, because the Titans, I think, will make big mistakes, and they just don't have the talent to keep it up. But I think the name that you mentioned is the reason why I feel like it's not likely. Of course, it can happen. But it's Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid has controlled the game much more with Matt Moore, and I don't think he puts them in positions. If you notice, I think the game plan may be more the way you saw against Denver and the way you saw against Green Bay, to where you didn't really make him have to make plays. Now, the impressive part of Matt Moore against the Vikings is he went out and made some throws. All right, he made some throws to Kelce late on the drive. The touchdown pass to Tyreek, he made some throws. I don't think he has to do that this week with the Titans, because they are allergic to scoring consistently. And I think he controls the game. Quick passes, quick things, getting out of his hands to where he's not even in the position to make big plays. Like, it's a lot of first, maybe second read stuff, and let's get up out of there. So I think Andy is the controller of it.
We'll take your thoughts on Matt Moore. Raiders as well, you can always have the last word, 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610. As mentioned, Andy Reid will address the media coming up at 1 o'clock. He will address Patrick Mahomes, whether or not he's going to play coming up on Sunday. Eric Bieniemy very coy about Matt Moore, man. Patrick Mahomes yesterday.
I heard Eric Bieniemy, and my fingers are crossed that he's going to be a head coach next year, although the percentage level that I had to start has been dropping to around the 77% mark.
And where were you at the beginning of the year?
95.
Okay.
95%. It keeps dropping.
Why? Why does it keep dropping?
Because he
your
just,
faith that Eric Bieniemy will become a head coach next year is dropping.
Because he just keeps being put in situations where it makes him look like he's not a head coach, along with other things that are working against him. He's put himself in a position week after week. And I hope he does become a head coach. And I listen to his press conference, and I wonder, is that going to be his time's yours? I wonder, is he going to kick off every press conference when he becomes a head coach, if he does, with what he started his press conference with?
What was it? I didn't.
Fire away. I wonder, is that what he's going to do every week? Fire away. That's how he kicked it off.
I like his energy.
Fire away. And then he had that trail laugh.
Here's Eric Bieniemy on the team's running game.
You know what? I think those guys have all done a heck of a job all season long. You know, I thought Damian did a hell of a job last week stepping up and playing a hell of a role. You know, without the yards that he gained and the big run, no telling what happens. But also, too, we understand the importance of working together. I thought our O-line did a heck of a job. The receivers on the perimeter. And then, hell, Tyreek guiding him across the line. But it's one of those deals. We want to make sure that we're putting the guys in the right situation to go out there and just execute and be the best that they can beat. So who's ever that guy, he's that guy. But like I said, Damian's done a hell of a job so far.
Yeah, that's offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, who just sticks the word hell in for no reason.
Sure,
and knows that he's being silly with it because he laughs after it. Because in hell. God, I would love him to come in and do the show's nasty hotline, because I really believe he's got it in him.
No
with that
question. No question.
Easy. All right, I'm going to attempt a basketball analogy. I'm going to attempt an NBA analogy.
Why?
Right now.
You're talking about football.
I know it.
And Eric Bieniemy.
You know, he just spoke about the running game, and I feel this works.
Well, you don't need to. Just
and, I already know.
God bless you.
First off, it's been my week, and it's been my day, November 5th, forever Ron the Show Hughley Day. And don't get it twisted. I know when I wasn't here, the Showites spoke to me and sent it up to me. The Showites let me know that you used a Kobe and Shaq basketball analogy, so shove it.
So you got disciples now. That's what you're telling
me. No, I said Showites.
Oh, okay.
All right. Here's the analogy. Everyone's really amped up about this running game, right? I've been listening to our shows. I heard Sean Levine. And they've been really like, hey, let's start handing the ball off. Heard Sean lose his mind and say, man, 20-something carries or something. Let's slow down. Because when I look at the Chiefs' running game, and they rush for the most yards they have all season, 130-plus yards rushing, 91 yards on one carry, it reminds me of when I was a LeBron fan rolling with the Cavs when they would play Golden State. And I used to, I kid you not, and I know Katie's listening, I kid you not, I used to cross my fingers and hope that Draymond Green would come out and hit multiple threes in the first quarter. I used to hope, because they're fool's gold threes. They're threes that he makes to where he starts feeling like he's feeling good. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to hit these throughout, baby. I'm knocking them down. And it takes shots away from the guys who are really lethal at what they do. From Steph, from Clay,
yeah, I know.
From
just,
Kevin Durant.
I mean, like Esky swinging for the fences. How about that?
No.
Esky hitting a home run in this first act.
No, no, this is better because it's more controllable. And it takes away from the thing that Draymond does well, like many of you know, because you remember Draymond from Golden State,
like
Esky Michigan State,
it the other way instead
and Sagnosti.
Home runs.
It takes away from what he does well, which is set people up. He's a playmaker. It takes away from that.
Right, like Esky is the lead.
Fool's gold. Don't get crazy about the run game and thinking this is it. This is the run game. This is what we're going to do. No, because you take away, and I'm telling you, Vern, I don't care who the quarterback is, Matt Moore or Mahomes, you take away from what you do best. You take the ball away from Tyreek, Travis, Mahomes if he's playing,
Sammy, who apparently has Fred Biletnikoff glue on his hands. You take the ball away from the things that you do well. So don't, I bet the Titans are hoping that the Chiefs bust off a couple of 11-yard runs. What? That was a good one.
Do you think these NBA analogies work? Draymond Green.
You don't think people know who Draymond is?
From the 913, Draymond Green is a better three-point shooter than LeBron James.
Okay, that's just not true.
Well, these are your people. These are your showites. There you go. Go ahead, Pied Piper. Keep telling them about the NBA.
Don't
They're
call
not getting
me
it.
R. Kelly, man.
I didn't I'm call not, you R. Kelly.
That's his nickname, and that's what you're alluding to. I'm not R. Kelly. I'm not pissed. I'm not peeing on anybody. I've not done any of that. Good God, man. That was a good one. I'm not giving up
again,
on these people.
I got it. I get it. But
stop. No, stop doing this. We got people here. I think they lie when they say the ratings go down when we talk about the NBA. I don't believe it's true.
That's what the man says.
Who the hell is the man?
Just a corporate man.
All right, man. All right, you get the last word. Ron and Casey, go ahead.
Dude, you ate 17 chicken sandwiches the other day.
No, hold on. No, 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 Ron. No, no, you're not going to. No, stop it, Ron. Stop it. No, stop it. You're not going to put these lies out on me. We received 17. I only ate 2.5.
You only ate 2.5. I can vouch.
But listen, you took those from the prostitutes who are using those like the new street Bitcoin. Don't take them. And don't be getting a tummy tuck. Your wife likes you,
bitch. I'm not getting a tummy tuck. I'm just getting my breast taken down.
Do you know, Ron?
Dude, if you lose weight, then your wife's going to think you're going to leave her for a younger white woman. Don't do that.
She is.
Good
That's just real,
Don't leave
That's
your wife.
I can't even, I can't even argue that, Ron.
Then
That's the realest thing that's ever been said on this show.
Nick Wright money. You'll need Nick Wright money when you get a divorce.
That's the realest thing ever said on this show.
Where did that come from? He spoke to you like he really
like
knows
he knew
you.
Me, man.
This,
yeah,
of
that's,
course, goes back to yesterday, Ron saying he's going to have. Ron's doing something.
That's just real, dog. Yeah, I'm gonna get these man boobs taken out. Talking about if I lose 75.
How long has Ron been thinking about that?
I mean, he had that
right
that
out of the
real,
right when
dog.
The show starts. He's like, I gotta get a hold of the show here.
Yeah, man.
And Ron didn't eat 17 chicken sandwiches. I got your back on that one, Ron. You were handing them out like the Pied Piper.
Come on, man. You think Al Roker's wife wasn't looking at him crazy once he started to lose that weight? She'd been eyeing all those white women that work on that show with him.
No, she was leery because he was always with Matt Lauer's crazy ass.
But she didn't know Matt was. No, she probably did.
I think people knew, man. Al knew. You know how much trouble Al got in for what Matt did? I guarantee Al heard about that.
Listener number 6.5, who the hell is Draymond Green? Does he play a real sport? Oh, God. You guys are such jokers. I know you are. I know you got it. All right. Okay, I have a question for Vern coming up. All right. And Vern, I kid you not, this is a no radio bit. He has no clue of what the question is. But what I want to talk to you about, Vern, coming up on the other side is this is the main reason why I believe Chiefs fans should not be afraid of not getting the first round bye. But I'll say this. I'll be willing to change my opinion. And you know that doesn't happen often, Vern. I'd be willing to change my opinion on this depending on how you answer this question I have. Good God, what a tease.
Joe and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Back to Show and Vern. 25 straight minutes of sports entertainment starts now.
All right, welcome back in Show and Vern on a Red Friday. All right. This is something I don't know why I've waited this long to push to you because nobody more qualified would be able to answer this and give an opinion to this. But I've been trying to figure out what's the best example of why I've been so on the side of, hey, I'd rest him till the bye week, or these games aren't as important because you don't need the first round bye. You don't have any fear of that. And
And I'm looking at the team, and I'm thinking, man, there's so many injuries on this team, still dealing with injuries on this team in a major way. And you can specifically look at their three losses. You can at least point to two of them and just say, man, injuries. Injuries had a – if not all of them, injuries had a ton to do with why they're in the position that they're in, Vern, in terms of their record mm-hmm. and where they're set up in the AFC. It made me think, like – well, this reminds me so much of the only championship that Aaron Rodgers has in that Packers team. Because I remember they had a ton of injuries, and that, to me, was a big reason why they were battling at the very end of the regular season to having to beat the Bears to get into the playoffs and to get to, what, like 10-6, I believe they were, and to get in the playoffs and make their run to the Super Bowl. But they had Aaron Rodgers, who was playing, I think, in a level that Patrick Mahomes plays at. They had him, and it didn't matter. There was no fear if they had to go and play in Philadelphia. They had to go and play in Chicago. They had to go play wherever.
Atlanta.
And they go on and win the Super Bowl because their talent and some of their injuries came back. This team reminds me so much. That, to me, seems like to be the best example of recency where I could say this is why the bye week and not having a first or second seed or hosting at home is not as much of a need as it has been in the past or most teams would think it is because of this team and the quarterback, and I think that's the best example. Now, you covered that team, and I'm wondering how similar – do you see the Packers situation of that year to the Chiefs situation right now?
I just think the Chiefs are so much better than that Packer team.
Oh, even that.
Then. Yeah, I think they have a, you know, we'll say a push at quarterback. You know, maybe that Packer team, well, that Packer team definitely had more playmakers on the defensive side, but, you know, this defense, because that defense, in my opinion, maybe won that Falcons game in Atlanta. Andy's better than Mike McCarthy. You got much more talent. Again, to me, this goes back to the high-end talent conversation we had earlier in the week. When you have the best quarterback, the second-best head coach, the second-best tight end, the fifth-best wide receiver, the third-best defensive lineman, a good defensive coordinator, up-and-coming talent on the defensive side of the defensive side of the ball, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman. I just think this team is so top-heavy when it comes to talent. And even at the bottom of the roster, the guys aren't albatrosses, right? They're not negatives towards the win or the loss.
And that was they had a little bit of that with Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay had Charles Woodson, who was the defensive player of the year. Clay Matthews, who was a superstar. B.J. Raji was a playmaker. Tremont Williams was an above-average cornerback to go along with on offense. Greg Jennings, JerMichael Finley, and Aaron Rodgers, I would say, were their above-average players. So I would say talent-wise, it's about a push. Packers had the better defense. Chiefs have the better offense. And the Chiefs have the better coaching staff. So to me, the high-end talent, that's the reason why I'm not afraid to go anywhere. That high-end talent makes me feel as if it's a fair fight for the first time against Bill Belichick. That high-end talent makes me feel as if only a superhuman effort from a superhuman quarterback like Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, or Aaron Rodgers, that's the only thing that can bring down this Chiefs team. So that Packers team was obviously very good. But I don't think
so they... So you have even more confidence.
Yeah.
Because this...
Yeah, no, I thought the Packers could lose that Falcons game against Matt Ryan and Julio and them. But they were superior to everyone else. The Eagles, the Bears in the NFC title game, and even the Steelers in the Super Bowl. No, I thought the high-end talent of the Packers would be able to push them forward, but I just had more confidence in that defense back in 2011. This Chiefs team is a juggernaut on offense, and when healthy, I don't think they're... I don't think you can stop this offense when they're healthy. Now, a lot goes into that. I'm talking the health of Sammy Watkins, too, and that's not necessarily something that we can bank on. But yeah. When healthy, those weapons at the Ready call of Patrick Mahomes. I don't think we've seen anything like it in the history of the sport.
From the text line, that Packers team had a much better defense. It didn't have to go on the road to New England.
That's true. That's a great point. Yeah, you didn't have to go through Bill Belichick. The best mind that you faced in that run was, what, Andy Reid right out of the gate. And it was a tight game against that Michael Vick-led Eagles team, but Packers found a way, moved on, went through Lovie Smith and whoever the hell was the head coach in Atlanta. Yeah, they beat Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin in the Super Bowl, but that's probably the best point is Bill Belichick wasn't there
waiting
to
there.
Maybe stop that Packer team. But again, with Bill Belichick facing this Chiefs team, I don't have that fear. I feel like it's a fair fight. I feel like with Steve Spagnuolo, it's not that easy concession that you're going to lose the coaching battle like it normally is.
I just felt like with the injuries that both of those teams, this team and that team felt with the quarterback playing the way it was and so clearly more talented than everyone else, it felt like an example to me of that as, man, that's why I just don't have the fear,
right?
I don't have the fear of going, having to go somewhere or not have everything perfect, like having a bye and everything.
You can add the last word, 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610.
This is bad.
That's right.
Little Show and Uncle Vern, sponsored by absolutely no one. Someone could step up.
You know what time it is. Hey, Uncle Vern.
All right, been too long, little show. Good morning. Week 10 of the NFL season, my friend. How you feeling?
Do you smell that, Uncle Vern?
What the hell?
No, I don't smell that.
It's Money Making Friday.
All right. Now you're damn right it's Money Making Friday.
I thought he was about to say from the line of House Party,
What did you think your five-year-old son
I don't
was
know
about
what
to
you're,
say?
I don't know what you're doing with him, Vern.
Anyway.
He said he's already made.
Oh, he's been making money. Oh, it's Money Making Friday. Let's get to it. Where are we starting? Week 10.
There's no way Aaron Rodgers craps himself 2 weeks in a row. I'll take the Packers laying 5.5 against the sorry Panthers.
Panthers are. I don't know. Panthers are sorry.
They're not great. Nobody's scared of the Panthers.
Yeah, nobody.
Little
sorry. That
go,
felt like
Pat,
a...
go.
Okay, man.
All right. That sounded like a bit of a sort of push, maybe over the topping the Panthers.
He is taken after Steve.
Yes,
more
man,
and
that
more.
Is scaring me.
Although that sniffing thing was very dad, if you know what I'm saying. I think I've heard you do that a few times.
Oh, stop.
he's been on the Packers a whole bunch.
Yeah, he's got a long play with Aaron Rodgers, 32.5 touchdowns. He's been talking about that a lot.
That's what the over-under was, 32.5?
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like a little show staring down an L on that one.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Aaron Rodgers on pace for about 30. Anyway, I'm going to take the Ravens in Cincinnati to absolutely crush the Bengals. It's a big number, 10.5. I'm not worried
about
it.
You better want to watch out, though. Aren't they starting a new quarterback this week?
Who?
Or did he play last week? That Ryan Finley guy?
Ryan Finley, yeah.
It could be like the Broncos and the Browns.
He's 6'5" and weighs 185 pounds. He's going to get broken.
Thank you for knowing that man's height and weight for no reason.
That is
sick.
Odd.
That's sick, Binkley. Sick.
I'll lay the 10.5. Take the Ravens in Cincinnati.
Okay, that's a mistake. Lamar's going to have a bad game, Uncle Vern.
Agree to disagree. I don't know why you always.
I don't know, man. You know, he can't be up and down.
And weren't you the one that just said the Panthers were sorry? If the Panthers are sorry, what the hell are the Cincinnati Bengals?
Putrid.
Yeah, take the Ravens, lay the 10.5.
All right, let's get to my haymaker of the week. Not only is Mahomes playing on Sunday, but he's going to throw more than 2 touchdown passes.
Yeah. That's a good bet.
I think that's the normal line for Mahomes.
Is that the betting line?
Over, under 2 touchdowns? I would expect that to be the betting favorite, so.
It's minus 130, so don't be afraid to go big. It takes money to make money, playboy.
All right, man. Chill out. This kid's saying Playboy. Yeah, hey, chill out, man, Vern.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cuss around the kid, man. I'm sorry.
Hey, Dad, one more thing. Don't worry. My chest will never look like yours.
Oh, my God.
You made him say that.
No, I didn't. You're an a-hole. That is rude.
He's a straight up.
I wouldn't say that. I've been very supportive.
But that would be exactly what you do. Come behind my back. I bet you got a real chuckle out of that, huh?
No, I don't think he just came up with that one. I'd ground him if I was you. Little Joe and Uncle Vern each and every Friday at 10:35. I'm just saying, I would. I did not coax him nor write that down and ask him to repeat that. I did not do that.
So is that how you do it? You write it down and ask him to repeat? He can't even read. I know you.
See?
Yep, definitely get
each and every Friday, 10:35, Money Making Friday, as the kid said. Little Show and Uncle Vern right here on 610 Sports Radio. That was rude. I'm on
that
record.
That chest line kind of got me off.
Well, as it should.
I'm going to go throw all this Halloween candy away. Actually, I found out there's a dentist I can go sell the candy back. I'm going to sell the candy back. And keep the money.
Okay. I don't think anybody's going to pay you for that candy.
Like hell they aren't. If he's standing next to me, I'll pick him up.
All right, let me get you back. I want to talk about Reggie Ragland real quick.
Are you kidding me,
kid? No, come on. Reggie Ragland, Pete Sweeney, two of your favorite people were talking with one another yesterday inside that Chiefs locker room.
I don't like Pete.
Okay, well, Reggie, you like Reggie. Here's what Reggie Ragland had to say about the defensive issues early in the season and the communication problems.
Oh, yeah. Everything that we did wrong during the game is always correctable. So we just got to go out there and communicate. That's the biggest thing, especially, like I said, in the new scheme. So we go out there and communicate. They might not get the touchdown. So we just got to go out there and just keep having fun and keep communicating. And that's been our biggest downfall this year, is not communicating. So as the week's been going on, we've been getting better at it. So I'm excited because I know this week we're going to harp on it. And I'm ready to get back out there and practice.
All right, I'm back.
Reggie,
my brother, and I don't even know if it's right for me to say from another mother. But when I hear that, it's like, Vern, they cannot shake the ghost of Bob Sutton. Like, the ghost of Bob Sutton is alive and well. When I hear that, like, it makes me just understand how deep the habits were for the guys that are on this team that were coached under the tutelage of Bob Sutton and Emmett Thomas.
Come on, man.
That was under the tutelage of those guys and Andy's kid. Under the tutelage of those guys, that the habits that they had, that they were going through and having to break and having to break daily, and Alpha House, and I can't believe I just called him that, Matt House and Spags, all of them, Sam Madison, having to break down the habits. Like what he said, we saw at the beginning of the year, and that was a routine under Bob Sutton. No communication. I mean, you think of some of the biggest plays of last year. Lando just walking away from Mike Williams in the end zone against the Chargers because him and Kendall are standing around looking at each other. Oh, you had him. No, you had him. No, it was silver. It was green. What were we in? Man, zone. Ron Parker's the king of it. They were never, always struggled with communication and guys not knowing who they had, if they were zone, if they were man, whatever. And it seems like it was carrying at the start of the year, and Reggie's even admitted to it. It is so hard to shake those two rascals off. It is so hard to shake off Bob and Emmett. And it's taken a little while.
All right, damn it, that's enough. It's enough
taken
with the
a
image.
While, but I'm just saying, it's just, look that's at enough. This, dog. This is all coming from.
No, this doesn't have to do with Bob.
Oh, look, this is all Bob.
No.
This is something that this is drilled into him. I believe Bob said, let's not communicate.
There's just
guys.
Not enough
let's
carryover.
Let's make it hard.
There's not enough carryover from last year at the key positions for me to think that the lack of communication, or better put, the ever-improving communication of this Chiefs defense goes back to Bob Sutton.
You don't think it has nothing to do with the habits that they developed?
Last year, poor communication, I think, was a reflection of, well, poor coaching because of a poor scheme that players didn't have a full grasp of.
They didn't have all the sharpest knives in the drawer either.
That might be fair. Who are you thinking of in particular?
Murray comes to mind.
Eric Murray. Man, leave Eric. He's having a good time out there in Cleveland, losing games.
We saw the decision that Lando made as he finished out his career and went on and just said, I'm done, folks. Yeah. And I don't think Steve Nelson's the sharpest knife in the drawer as well.
He's taking them all out. Last year, I don't think they communicated because they didn't understand the defense. We've had it explained to us countless times about the amount of reading and reacting there was in that Sutton defense and how it becomes second nature if you're in that defensive scheme for a number of years. But there were quite a few new faces, young faces on that team where Bob Sutton would not tailor the defense for them, wouldn't simplify it for them. I think the communications early on this season were a reflection of new teammates, a lack of trust, a new coaching staff, a new defensive scheme, and everyone learning what I need to do. Man, I got to take care of myself. I can't worry about whoever's lining up next to me. It's the put your oxygen mask on before you help others. You can't be out there communicating if you don't know what to do yourself. But as the season has gone on, Tyrann Mathieu, Anthony Hitchens, and others, the leaders of their respective groups, I think as they understand the defense, they're communicating more, helping others understand the defense, and so on and so forth.
So this ain't no debate show. We're not afraid of agreeing or coming to a compromise. I can say some of what you're saying is true. It is a new offense and there are new players around. But I think also some of it has to do with, like, Dan has been in this defense 3-4 years. Reggie's been in it for multiple years. Chris has been in it for multiple years. Like they got guys, Javarius last year. Remember, he didn't know what the hell was going on until Eric Berry was out there. He didn't know what. Like, I think some of it has to do with the habits of how you were being coached for years to not, like, you can tell now within most defenses, like you've said about Bob and them, you know, hey, coaching. Like, always constantly talking and having a voice. It used to be Eric Berry was the only voice that you would hear. Like, and I think some of that has to do with the habits that have been bestowed upon them for years under Bob Sutton. And I don't know why I just used the word bestowed.
It worked, though.
I know it meant. I know it worked, but that was just, I don't know why I went there.
I like it. The Kansas City Chiefs version of Show Inserta is Reggie Ragland and Pete Sweeney.
That's not true.
One's nasty. One's nasty.
No, Pete's not nasty.
One's a lying backstabbing SOB. The other is a lying backstabbing SOB.
I'm not
the
a
coaching
lying.
Staff simplify things a bit when you say too complicated? Or
we just doing what we're doing. Everybody just thinking too much. Just going out there and just playing ball. And everybody's getting used to the scheme and everything now, so we just got to go play ball, man. And it's football. See ball, go get ball. Cover guy, hit guy. So that's what football is. It's nothing else.
See, Reggie is still the remnants of it. It's still there. Yeah, you got to play football, but that don't mean you can't talk to each other. You're just going out there running and playing football, you still got to talk to each other. You got to communicate. And just going out there, hell, forget it, baby. Hey, Hitch, I'm just going to go out here and play football. I'm not going to communicate nothing with you. Well, hold on, Jack. You know who you got over here? I'm just playing football. It's still there.
Protein House, eat with a purpose. Text line 69306. Here's Steve Spagnuolo.
The two guys back there that really unwind it for us and get everybody is really Hitch and Tyrann. Listen, they embrace those roles. They're really good at it. They're cerebral players. They can slow the game down within the game and help everybody else out. So it's been good.
Tyrann Mathieu, Anthony Hitchens. I think having Chris Jones back on that defensive line, there's a leader on every single level of that defense. And, the better the better Anthony Hitchens has been playing, right? I mean, we really saw that in the Broncos game, him pick it up. I think he's understanding it more. And the communication, as Spags alludes to, the communication between him and Tyrann Mathieu, I think, is really the genesis, along with the aggressiveness of Spags, but is the genesis of this new identity of the Chiefs' defense.
Let's head to Steve for the newsflash.
What?
Serta's newsflash.
Primetime could be heading back to Tallahassee. Hall of Fame cornerback, NFL Network analyst Deion Sanders has emerged as a candidate for the Florida State head coaching job, according to Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo of NFL Network.
Yeah, I hope to God he doesn't take this job or that it's not offered to him. Whatever it takes that he's not the coach. A bit of it is for selfish reasons. I think he's just too big of a personality and a person to be a coach at Florida State in college football.
I like the idea of him seeing an opportunity to create a new you, because Miami can't figure out how to find who they used to be. Deion at least has the personality to inject that into Tallahassee.
And Vern, I'm not saying that I don't think he could do it. Like, Deion wouldn't just be coming to the table and not have any experience coaching young kids. He's got, like, a school that he coaches a football team of high school age players, and he probably has connections, especially in the state of Florida, in Texas, with a lot of coaches. So I'm not saying that he can't do it. Most great players aren't cut out to be really good coaches, but I think he's too big of a personality. Him not being covering the NFL on the NFL Network and stuff like that, I think Deion is too big to be the head coach in the ACC.
Yeah, I'd miss him. I'd miss him on television. I think he's a great entertainer. But Florida State has the money. God knows they're willing to throw it around. They did for Jimbo. They'll do it for a staff as well for Deion. And I'm sure guys would flock to Tallahassee to line up alongside the Hall of Famer.
I don't know. I mean, it would be huge excitement, but I still think Deion's even too big for that. Too big for that. All right, coming up next, Vern, even if he is cleared, I want you to listen to me. Even if he's cleared, under no circumstances should Frank Clark play on Sunday. None whatsoever. We'll get into that next.
Joe and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.